Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 5th, 1995.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, good evening, or in more cases than not, good morning, and welcome to another edition of the best in live overnight talk radio. Actually, I think the big is two. We're picking up a couple of more. One that we lost some time ago is back again, KUGR in Green River, Wyoming. Welcome back to the network. Good to have you. And we have picked up, though I don't have the call letters, I'm sorry, we're about to go on the air in Colorado Springs in a big way. And so we'll let you know about that tomorrow. Totaling now 241 affiliates. Yikes. Stretching from Tahiti and the Hawaiian Islands all the way to the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north to the pole. That more or less covers it. I've got a lot to do, so let's get going. Bosnia, troops and supplies really are moving very quickly now toward an area laden with about 6,000 landmines. In Fort Sill, Oklahoma, troops are beginning to get inoculations, making out wills. That is the group that goes to defuse bombs. They're going to be busy, busy, busy people. Now, I told you the BBC will tell you things that you don't hear elsewhere, and the BBC is reporting that the U.S. has far more troops on the ground now than the U.S. is actually reporting. We now admit, by the way, to you tell me, but it's somewhere between 30 and 40,000 troops that will be in and around Bosnia by mid-December, 30 to 40,000. Now, you know, these are not minor differences. In other words, we talked about 20,000 troops, right? Now it's 30,000, or if you want to include support troops, it's up around 40,000. This is already, you know, it's mission creep. Well, not really mission, it's troop creep. But in a way, that is certainly mission creep, isn't it? General Norman Schwarzkopf, of Desert Storm fame, apparently is going to be doing assessments for NBC. They probably have hired him. And yesterday he said, my concern is, you know, our military now is 30% smaller than during Desert Storm. Now, that's a third, almost a third smaller. He said, if we get deeper and deeper into Bosnia, what's going to happen if Kim Il-sung decides to come roaring across the DMZ in Korea or Saddam makes a move? It is a valid question, he said, to ask whether we could handle it. Think about that. He said, I heard the president say, one of the things that guarantees that it's going to be a safe operation, Bosnia, is that we are so well armed, to which the general said, I should like to remind you, we were also well armed in Vietnam. You know how many casualties we took. And he cautioned, this whole thing may not go at all the way we expect. The president speaking today stressed the compassionate angle of the Bosnian incursion. Presidents Ford and Bush both gave their support. Senator Dole, stumbling a little bit, was going to have a vote, wanted to have a vote, actually, to support the president in the Senate. But, uh-oh, he doesn't have the votes, so he has delayed that vote until next week. Dole also wants an exit strategy that includes arming the Bosnians. Our president, Clinton, still opposes arming the Bosnians. So in other words, on exit, the president would like to leave the Bosnians in their present military condition. Now think about that. That means we leave and the Serbs get to slaughter again? And this is something that I bet many of you or most of you have never heard. Some of you will have heard it. And I think this morning it is appropriate that you do hear it. This is a letter written by Bill Clinton. It was published in the press when he was governor of Arkansas and a candidate for the Democratic presidential nomination. It was written to Colonel Eugene Holmes, director of the Reserve Officers Training Corps at the University of Arkansas, on December 3rd, 1969. Now, this is our president speaking. I'm sorry to be so long in writing. I know I promised to let you hear from me at least once a month, and from now on you will. But I've had to have some time to think about this first letter almost daily since my return to England. To resume my studies at Oxford University, I've thought about writing about what I ought to say. First, I want to thank you for saving me from the draft, but also for being so kind and decent to me last summer when I was as low as I've ever been. One thing that made the bond we struck in good faith somewhat palatable to me was my high regard for you personally. In retrospect, it seems that the admiration might not have been mutual had you known a little more about me, my political beliefs and activities. At least you might have thought me more fit for the draft than the ROTC. Let me try to explain. As you know, I worked for 2 years in a very minor position on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I did it for the experience and the salary, but also the opportunity, however small, of working every day against a war I opposed and despised, the depth of feeling I had reserved solely for racism in America before Vietnam. I did not take the matter lightly, but studied it carefully. And there was a time when not very many people had more information about Vietnam at hand than I did. I've written and spoken and marched against the war. One of the national organizers of the Vietnam Moratorium is a close friend of mine. After I left Arkansas last summer, I went to Washington to work in the national headquarters of the moratorium, then to England to organize the Americans here for demonstrations October 15th and November 16th. Interlocked with the war is the draft issue, which I did not begin to consider separately until early 1968. For a law seminar at Georgetown, I wrote a paper on the legal arguments for and against allowing, within the Selective Service System, the classification of selective conscientious objection, for those opposed to participation in a particular war, not simply to participation in war in any form. From my work, I came to believe the draft system itself is illegitimate. No government really rooted in limited parliamentary democracy should have the power to make its citizens fight and kill and die in a war they may oppose. A war which even possibly may be wrong. A war which, in any case, does not involve immediately the peace and freedom of the nation. Let me repeat that line of our president's. A war which, in any case, does not involve immediately the peace and freedom of the nation. The draft was justified in World War II because the life of the people collectively was at stake. Individuals had to fight. If the nation was to survive for the lives of their countrymen and their way of life, Vietnam is no such case. Nor was Korea. An example where, in my opinion, certain military action was justified, but the draft wasn't, for the reasons stated above. Because of my opposition to the draft and the war, I am in great sympathy with those who are not willing to fight, kill, and maybe die for their country. In other words, the particular policy of a particular government, right or wrong. Two of my friends at Oxford are conscientious objectors. I wrote a letter of recommendation for one of them to the Mississippi Draft Board, a letter which I am more proud of than anything I ever wrote at Oxford last year. One of my roommates at Oxford University is a draft resister who is possibly under indictment, may never be able to go home again. He's one of the bravest men I know. His country needs men like him more than they know. That he is considered a criminal is an obscenity. The decision not to be a resistor, and the related subsequent decisions were the most difficult of my life. I decided to accept the draft in spite of my beliefs for one reason. To maintain my political viability within the system. For years, I've worked to prepare myself for a political life, characterized by both political practical ability, concern for rapid social progress. It is a life I still feel compelled to try to lead. I don't think our system of government is by definition corrupt. However, dangerous and inadequate it may have been in recent years, the society may be corrupt, but that is not the same thing. And if that is true, we are all finished anyway. Now, when the draft came, despite political convictions, I was having a hard time facing the prospect of fighting a war that I had been fighting against. That's why I contacted you. ROTC was the only way left in which I could possibly, but not positively, avoid both Vietnam and resistance. Going on with my education, even coming back to Oxford, played no part in my decision to join ROTC. I'm back here, and would have been at Arkansas Law School, because there's nothing else I can do. In fact, I'd like to have been able to take a year out, perhaps, to teach in a small college, or work on some community action project, and in the process, decide whether to attend law school or graduate school, and how to begin putting what I have learned to use. But the particulars of my personal life are not nearly as important to me as the principles involved. After I signed the ROTC letter of intent, I began to wonder whether the compromise I had made with myself was not more objectionable than the draft would have been, as I had no interest in the ROTC program in itself, and all I seemed to have done was to protect myself from physical harm. Also, I began to think I had deceived you. Not by lies, there were none, but by failing to tell you all the things I'm writing now. I doubt I had the mental coherence to articulate them then. At that time, after we had made our agreement, and you had sent my 1D deferment to the draft board, the anguish and loss of my self-regard and self-confidence really set in. I hardly slept for weeks, and was kept going by eating compulsively, and reading until exhaustion brought sleep. Finally, on September 12th, I stayed up all night writing a letter to the chairman of my draft board, saying basically what is in the preceding paragraph, thanking him for trying to help in a case where he really couldn't, stating that I couldn't do the ROTC after all, and would he please draft me as soon as possible. Well, I never mailed that letter, but I did carry it on me every day until I got on a plane to return to England. I didn't mail the letter because I didn't see in the end how my going into the army and maybe going to Vietnam would achieve anything except a feeling that I had punished myself and gotten what I deserved. So I came back to England to try to make something of this second year of my Rhodes Scholarship. And that is where I am now, writing to you because you have been good to me and have a right to know what I think and feel. I'm writing to you, too, in the hope that my telling you this story will help you understand more clearly how so many people have come to find themselves loving their country, but loathing the military, to which you and other good men have devoted years, lifetimes, of the best service you could give. To many of us, it is no longer clear what is service and what is disservice. Or, if it is clear, the conclusion is likely to be illegal. Forgive the length of this letter. There was much to say. There is still a lot to be said, but it can wait. Please say hello to Colonel Jones for me. Merry Christmas. Sincerely, Bill Clinton. Now, I've never read that whole thing on the air before, but I thought somehow I don't even want to say on the eve of the deployment, because it really has begun, again around Christmas time, we should try and understand the man who is now sending men and women in America squarely into harm's way, if you want to believe what Norman Schwarzkopf had to say. And I think it helps you to understand the man who wrote that letter. We'll be right back. All right, I've got a number of other things I want to cover with you. By the way, it's a big full moon out there. I don't know if you've gone out to look. Every time I say that, somebody will call me up and say, well, it's not going to be in full until tomorrow. It looks full to me, and that's when I begin saying it is a full moon. And that, in fact, is when people begin to react to it. So I expect some reaction this morning. I saw a story on CNN earlier tonight. I think it was their 9 o'clock newscast that blew me away. And I don't blow away that easily these days. Story comes from Kalamazoo, Michigan. It was the story of a mother who had a baby. A little premature, I believe. The baby had some sort of respiratory problem and stopped breathing and died. Now, I swear to you, what you're about to hear is true. In other words, it was reported on CNN as absolute truth. It's probably still running on CNN, if you want to see it. The baby died. It stopped breathing. The doctors declared it dead. There they have a kind of a bonding experience that occurs between a mother and her dead infant. And the hospital there allows the mother to hold the dead child and sort of bond with it. You know, some sort of, I mean, she carried the child for 9 months, so it is not surprising to me that that is a psychologically healing thing for a woman to do. And to become acquainted with a baby she will never see grow up well. This child turned totally purple, stopped breathing for 3.25 hours. In other words, it was really dead. The mother was holding the child, and it was 3.25 hours later, and suddenly there was a gasping sound. The doctors and nurses standing nearby, totally freaked out, they grabbed the baby from the grieving mother, put it on life support, and as of right now, it's doing fine. They have no idea, nor can they for a while, whether there is any brain damage. Now, I don't know what word you would use to describe this, but the one I don't hesitate to use is miracle. What other possible explanation could there be? Nobody. Nobody dies for over 3 hours and comes back. And if you think that's even remotely possible, then we should worry that we are burying a lot of people alive, cremating them, beginning to process them for burial. I have never in all of my born days seen such a story. But I guarantee you, in good faith, I just relayed the details to you as given by CNN. Now, my word is miracle. If you have another word you would use to describe that story, I would like to hear it. How do you react to that? How could that happen in this world?
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 5th, 1995. To Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 5th, 1995.
Good news for me. A new Gallup poll out says 49% of all Americans, that's half, are having trouble sleeping. That's as of 1995 and up from 36% in 1991. They attribute it to job stress-related sort of stuff. So half the American people are having trouble sleeping. And I bet a bunch of them listen to this program. So I guess that's good for me, bad for you. I don't know. All right, I have some quickening news. This is from Reuters a few moments ago. A growing dome of lava in Montserrat's rumbling volcano threatens to send rock slides and lava flows down the mountain's eastern flank, according to the governor of the Caribbean island Tuesday. About 4,000 residents of the tiny British colony remained out of their homes on the south end as a result of the second major evacuation since seismic activity began to erupt in the Chances Peak volcano in July. The governor there, in a phone conversation from Montserrat, told Reuters that scientists reported an increase in volcanic activity overnight, and two lava domes appeared to be merging, heightening the threat that the crater would begin to crumble. The Chances Peak is full of cracks now, Savage said. Bits of rock will start to fall off the dome, which will produce rock slides or flows. A lot of the existing structure is going to come down. Also, this one just in. There has been a 6.4 earthquake in Indonesia. 6.4 magnitude in Indonesia. And while it is not of the 8-point variety, it does follow in the pattern that we are now becoming so familiar with. I thought you might be interested in this from Australia, down in Standeo country. First, this, by the way, is their news service from Sydney. First, the horses lost their appetite. Then they began to twitch. That turned into convulsions. The animals flailing in their stalls. Within 2 weeks, their lungs hemorrhaged, and they drowned in their own blood, which gushed from their mouths and nostrils. Then the disease, a new one apparently, struck the horses' handlers, eating holes in their lungs until they choked to death. So we may have, we're waiting to see, yet another new, weird, hemorrhagic type a virus on our hands. They're trying to find out. This from Dan in Pacifica. Art, today California had 3 quakes, all just around the 3 magnitude range, one off the coast of Eureka, the other in Sonoma County, and the other in Palm Springs. If you draw a line beginning in the north and terminating in the south, it matches Gordon Scallion's predicted earthquake line for multiple large quakes. Just thought I'd drop that in. Well, okay, I've got a lot more here, but I will hold it. That ought to be sufficient. I thought a kind of a profile on the president at this point during those years when he faced the possibility of having to do what he is now going to order men and women in America to do, I thought it was appropriate. Doc Berry hated it and said, gee, can't you come up with anything that's new? And so I know that I must have hit the nail right on the head when Doc Berry scratches off a fast, angry fax. I know that it hit the nail right on the head. I use Doc just like a barometer. Thanks, Doc. So, we begin. Under a full moon. Are you ready? We don't screen calls. We don't know what you want to talk about. I have no idea what you want to talk about. As a matter of fact, it is up to you. First-time callers to the program, virgins, should I say virgins and first-time callers? Area code 702-727-1222. The wildcard direct dial lines are area code 702-727-1295. The toll-free west of the Rockies line is 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. Anywhere east of the Rockies, way out east, it's 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. And the magic begins. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. It's Anthony from St. Louis. Long time no talk.
Well, it has been a long time. How you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, listen. A lot of things have come up over the past couple months. I got your book. Got today. It was autographed. Excellent job, Art.
Oh, thank you. It really is a good book.
I got a ham radio license, too.
Oh, my gosh. Did you really?
Yeah, I'm only a technician, but...
Oh, congratulations, Anthony.
Thanks a lot. I'm moving on up. And I'm off to college, too, which means I have Internet access. I've emailed you a couple times, but I'm waiting for a response, but you talking with me tonight is enough. And I pulled a whole bunch of pictures of you off the Internet and printed it up and put it in my board in my room, and my roommate says it's like a shrine to you. And I'm not fooling you. You can
shrine,
ask Roger.
Anthony? No, don't make shrines to me, Anthony.
Really? Why shouldn't I?
Well, actually, I guess you could. You need to develop a chant, though.
Yeah.
Art.
That'll be it. Oh, there's just one little substantial thing that I wanted to talk to you about tonight.
One little thing, huh?
Yeah, it was about Michael New. I mean, everybody's up there talking about Michael New.
Mm.
I think you're wrong in the fact Michael New is a great national hero, but I think you did raise a good point about treaty power and the fact that we did ratify the UN treaty, and that dilutes our Constitution. In fact, there's a debate with...
Anthony, yes. What we did, we don't actually have a treaty with the UN.
Mm-hmm.
What we have is a treaty with member nations of the UN, Anthony. And what I have said for so long and will continue saying again and again and again is that Michael New has disobeyed a lawful, legal order. And the way to protest that, if you don't want any involvement in the UN, is to put pressure on our politicians to withdraw either from the UN or from the treaties that we have signed. Not to join the military, hold your hand up, and swear to obey lawfully given orders, and then not do so. No.
Maybe you have that right, but I'm going to let you go, and I just want to say hi to Jeremiah.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. So there we are with that one again, Michael New. Look, policy is made out here in the private sector. Policy is made by politicians and by you who vote for those politicians. If the U.S. makes a treaty with nations and says we will do the following, then our armed forces are obligated to do the following. You do not join the service and then refuse a lawful order if you want to, if you object to something. You get out into the private sector, you run for office, you pressure your guy to vote to get us out of these treaties, you do it the lawful way. If you disobey a direct order, you get something called a court-martial, and he deserves it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good evening, Art. This is Dad from Kansas City.
Yes, sir.
Just have a quick comment and a question for you.
Okay.
My question involves that baby.
Oh,
that miraculous
yes.
child.
Yes.
I wonder what lodge it belongs to.
What lodge it belongs to? And what degree
right.
what degree Mason it might have been?
Well, it'd be first degree probably, being so young, but it's already gone through the resurrection.
Well, I really don't know what you would call that, except an outright miracle.
Oh, it certainly is. Did you hear about that woman, though? I saw it on one of these tabloid programs. Her baby had died and was dead for about 45 minutes, and they came back, and it was breathing, and it was alive. It has brain damage.
Well, this one, 3 1/4 hours.
Do you know how it's doing, Mike?
They don't know yet. The baby,
right.
though, was totally purple. It was cold to the touch. It was completely dead, had been declared, so no signs of any life for 3 1/4 hours. And then life came back.
Now, see, that seems not so unusual. A lot of times children, when they fall under the ice, you know, they'll...
No, this child, sir, was being held at room temperature by its mother.
Mm-hmm,
dead.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Children are resilient, that's for sure.
Well, all right, thank you. They are not that resilient. Children with regard to life and death are very much like the rest of us. Dead is dead, and baby, at 3 1/4 hours, you're really dead. I mean, that's not even close. That is reanimation. That is a miracle. And I can't conceive that you could come up with any word that would describe anything else for what has occurred in Kalamazoo. Remarkable. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. This is Alan calling from Chico.
Hello, Alan.
How you doing tonight?
Fine.
Yeah, I just called. I'm sitting here thinking about this baby you guys are talking about.
Yes.
I haven't seen the report on CNN. I've only heard what you've told about it.
It's been running. It ran at the 9 o'clock main CNN newscast.
Yeah, is this a... kind of a work of God here, do you think?
I don't have that answer. I'm sorry.
What do you believe? What do you believe, Art?
I believe in God.
But do you believe this?
Do I believe this is a work of God?
Yeah.
I have no other answer.
I think...
What do you believe, sir?
I believe that if you put your mind to something,
yeah,
and if you believe in something hard enough, be it religion, be it your lucky coin,
uh-huh,
I believe anything's possible.
All right, well, then you're going to be in lots of trouble. I mean, to suggest that believing in anything strongly enough, God or your lucky coin, they would be at opposite corners, no doubt.
No,
it's
comparison.
Going to get you in a lot of trouble, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your call, thank you, and I wouldn't jump on your belief. I know a lot of people are going to out there.
Lucky coins, rabbit's foots, black cats, it's all a bunch of devil stuff, Art.
Right? So, I don't know. A miracle. It is a miracle. The source of the miracle. Oh, we'd have a big old go-round about that. Lucky coin? I don't know about that. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Turn your radio off, please.
Yeah, it's down.
Cool. All right. Turn it all the way off.
It's all the way off.
Well, that's even better. All right.
Good morning.
Good morning. Where are you?
Encinitas, California.
Okay.
My name's Michael.
Yes, Michael.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I thought you were, like, holding me for a second.
Michael, we don't have a screener. When you hear my voice, you're on the air. That's
yeah,
it.
I should have known that. I should have known that. Art, it's a... There's, like, a whole lot of things going on all over the place. I understand that. It really hits me every day that And I see it in people's lives, you know. It's like I see it, like I see it in the way people live their lives, you know.
What, like what? I mean, what are you
well,
talking
you know,
about exactly?
Because, like, I have friend, I'm a musician, okay.
Okay.
And I'm struggling to like try to put some good music out, that especially on the caliber of like some of the people that you play, you know, with that you endorse and so far and you know so forth and so on.
Well,
but,
there's a lot of struggling musicians and artists out there.
Well, you know, but we are intelligent people, and we are born with a weird gene, I guess. I don't know, but...
That might be it. A musical gene, I'm
well,
sure.
Well, you know, but what it comes down to is, like, I watch people almost try to destroy themselves. And it's part of the quickening. It's part of, like where, like, all this comes down to, like, you know, they don't understand what's really happening in the world right now, and I try to explain this to them because...
Do you understand what's happening?
Well, I don't understand it. I listen
to... Well, then how can you explain it to them?
Yes, I do. I do. I explain to the point that, like, look, there's major change happening right now. Basically, what I come down and I tell people, and I...
But that's like Bill Clinton trying to explain to GIs why
no,
they should be ordered...
No.
To go...
No, I have no concept. I mean, as far as what he goes through, I wouldn't even know. But he must have a conscience that is, like, unbelievably wide.
Resilient. Resilient,
yes,
sir. Very resilient
like
conscience.
Because, like, he's like... to what's going on is unbelievable.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call. Yes, Bill Clinton must have a very resilient conscience. Such a kind way to put it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hi there. Let me get my friend to turn the radio down here.
Yes, if he is a friend, he will do that.
He did. Thank you. A couple things and a question for you. One of them is I don't understand why there's so much worry about the war coming up in Bosnia. I mean, your show Sunday night had to do with HAARP. Why not just aim HAARP there and there's no war?
Well, I've thought the same thing, and maybe the answer is, sir, they're just cranking HAARP up now. And they're at low power levels, and they need to get it going. So maybe they're not ready to use it yet.
Okay, that could be so. That could be. The other one is about that baby. I'm wondering if, since I do believe in walk-ins, if that child might be a walk-in now, and if it is, that's one heck of a strong walk-in. That's not a...
I'm afraid I don't understand the term walk-in.
Let's see. I believe it was in Revelations by Brad Steiger. The walk-in... was a star child who would come in.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, when a person died or came close to death.
Yes.
Yeah, like they say, Christ may have been a walk-in. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Well, to me, this child truly was dead. It was, you know, purple. You turn color. You get cold. The heart stops. The brainwave stops. D-E-A-D, dead. 3 1/4 hours in its mother's arms, and after 3 1/4 hours, it takes a breath, begins gasping. That's not just an oddity. That's not just, you know, a quirk. That's
like it makes you speechless.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. That's a miracle. That's reanimation. That's God's hand, or that's, as you suggest, a walk-in.
Yeah.
I mean, who can know what that is, but it's really something.
It is. And the question I had for you is, going back to the chamber that was found by the Sphinx, connected to the Sphinx.
No, sir, it is below the Sphinx.
Okay, have you heard what was found inside of that chamber?
You don't know about the saucer?
Apparently not. I'm asking you, and I'd like to hear about it.
Oh, jeez. It's the saucer, of course. No, sir, I have no idea.
Okay, well, that's
they're investigating. Eduardo Rivera will go over there and they'll open it up or something. I don't know. We're waiting to find out.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for the call. I know about 50 ufologists out there sat straight up and their blood began to pump when I said that. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, Arbel.
That's me.
Jason from Indio, California.
Where? Indio?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm calling about if you heard about the two Marines in Hawaii who refused to give the DNA test, the blood for the DNA testing.
Really?
Yeah, they refused to give it.
Why?
Because they felt later on down in life the military or any government agency or police department would be able to get access to it. And later on, using that to incriminate them in any way, you know, as far as them being criminals, or not so far as saying they're criminals, but to commit them to certain...
Well, I would say they ought to follow in Michael New's shoes and face a court-martial. You know, if the military wants blood to make a test, it's a lawful order to take it.
Yeah, I understand that. I support defend the Constitution because I was in the Marines myself.
Okay,
defend
well,
the Constitution against the United States, against all enemies, whoever, wherever.
Uh-huh.
And obey orders from time to time as may be given.
Law
That's
order,
an oath
yeah.
that we take.
So, okay. Goodbye. Court martial. You asked my opinion. They joined the service. They held their hand up. They don't want to do what they're ordered to do. Then goodbye.
As far as giving blood?
Yeah. You didn't give blood. I gave blood.
I gave blood, but they...
Various tests when I was in the military. As a matter of fact, you know that military people are required to be tested for AIDS on a regular basis. That's blood, sir.
Yes, I give that.
Yeah, okay, well, so when you're ordered to give blood, you give it, or else you follow the path of Michael New. Look, I have a very strict outlook on the military. I was there. I remember what it was like. Either you obey orders, or the military is not a good place for you. We'll be back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 5th, 1995. Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired December 5th, 1995.
Tally-ho, everybody. This is Cusco, in case you didn't already know. For those of you who've been getting infected by this music, it is very infectious. Okay, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about Bosnia, of course. Norman Schwarzkopf was on NBC yesterday. With some pretty frightening words about the reduction already in the military and what's going to happen if we get involved in Bosnia, which we are, at already troop levels that are increasing beyond what they told us. And then he said if somebody ought to, should come racing across the DMZ in Korea, where Saddam acts up, we could be in trouble. And Bob Dole has put off the vote on Bosnia because he doesn't have the votes till next week. Try to twist some more arms. Bob Dole needs to twist some more arms, get people over on the Prez's side. I took the trouble in the first hour, and you may rehear it if you get the first hour repeated, to read the letter that Bill Clinton wrote. I thought it was an appropriate time to do it. When he was wiggling out of military service himself. And I think it is very revealing of the man who now orders so many into harm's way. Good time. So hope you heard that. If not, catch the first hour in repeat. The other thing we're talking about is the baby in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Premature. Dead. Purple. Not breathing. No brain waves. Declared officially dead by the doctors. They've got a special program there where mothers who have, was born preemie and mothers who have dead babies are allowed to hold them for hours. It allows them to bond with the child and perhaps reduce the psychological damage to the mother from what happened. 3 1/4 hours later, doctors and nurses were standing around. This is a story, by the way, ran on CNN at 9 p.m. Pacific time last night. Probably is still running. The doctors and nurses themselves gasped, ran over, grabbed the child from the dead child, now gasping for breath from its mother's arms, and last word was, it's doing fine. They don't know whether there is any brain damage. They don't know anything. How could they? This child was dark purple, no signs of life, for 3 1/4 hours. What is the word you used for that? Well, that has provoked a lot of talk and a lot of faxes, and I'll read you a few of the faxes that I've... It's a miracle. That's the only word. A miracle in Kalamazoo. Dear Art, about the baby, do you think this child is perhaps an immortal? This is the second child reported like this. The other, unless it is the same, was born still. Also came back to life after many hours. From J.A. listening to KSDP in Minneapolis. Another fax. Art, the population of immortals on this earth has just increased by 1. Unsigned. This one, Art, no, it was not a miracle the child survived. Almost anything is possible, except God, of course. People are too quick to assign these kind of matters to religion. Just calm down. The child was simply very, very lucky. Signed, Mark, the atheist in Louisiana. So that'll give you a little bit of sense of what we've been talking about with regard to Mr. Clinton and particularly Bosnia. Scott writes, and I thought this is just absolutely right on target, Art, Clinton refusing to arm the Bosnians. And I let me preface this by telling you that Bob Dole wants to, as part of an exit strategy, whatever that might be, wants to arm the Bosnians. President Clinton still will not do it. And so part of the authorization of the money or the support resolution the Senate is going to try to pass, if Bob Dole can twist enough arms, is going to include an exit strategy that would arm the Bosnians. Only Clinton doesn't want to do it. And Scott writes, Art, Clinton refusing to arm the Bosnians when we pull out is kind of like bailing the water out of a sinking boat, but not patching the hole. Clinton's letter would be humorous were it not so pathetic. It proves his ability to rationalize his morality started at a very young age. A man that can talk about Vietnam the way he did and do what he is doing now with regard to our troops is the perfect definition of a hypocrite. And about the baby, no matter what happens, the scientific community is going to explain it away as poor medical care. They will contend the baby never died. The doctors failed to monitor its life signs properly. There's no room for miracles in science. Is that true? East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
John from Milwaukee.
Hi, John.
Hey.
Hey.
I love to talk to you. I think that when our troops get into Bosnia, and when everything keeps going on, that the American public is going to rally, just like it did in Desert Storm, and
get behind the president.
And I think what's going to happen is it's going to be like an O.J. Simpson thing, that everybody is going to be watching the TV. That you know, like. It's going to be like a media event.
All right, thank you. Well, it already is that. The networks have been building camera platforms in Tuzla. Have any of you seen the camera platforms? Actually, they look like they're building gallows. They're built out of wood, and they're big old high platforms where a cameraman can stand. So they can take pictures, presumably, of our troops and any fighting that might occur. Now, I'll be damned if I would stand up on a platform in Tuzla, in Bosnia. You might as well put a target on the jacket you're wearing and say, here, sniper, here, sniper. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
All right, let me turn down my radio.
Turn it off, actually.
Okay.
All the way off.
How you doing?
Click. I'm doing fine.
Question for you, Art.
Mm.
If Colin Powell doesn't have a problem with Clinton being commander-in-chief, how come you do?
I
mean, in his book, he said he respected the man for how much he can retain, and even though he didn't agree with what he did in Vietnam, he still thinks that he was an okay guy. He thought he was, you know, pretty on the ball.
I have, he can say whatever he wants. I mean, I guess Colin Powell would have his opinion, and I would have mine. Mr. Clinton is the consummate politician. He is the best campaigner I've ever seen, and that's about as far as I can go in finding any praise.
Yeah, I mean, he was, the guy is the commander-in-chief, so if you were in there, I mean, you just don't like him because...
If I was in there, I would follow his orders. I would have no choice, sir. I would follow his orders. When you're in the military, and I joined the Air Force, I followed orders. And that's what you do when you join. So that's the answer to your question. But I'm not in the military right now. I'm doing a talk show, and I have an opinion, and I don't like Bill Clinton.
Well, there's some things that I voted for him. I'd rather vote for him than Bush. But I don't regret it, but sometimes I do. I mean, the guy has a lot of flaws, but...
Did you hear the letter?
Yeah, I heard the letter, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the guy just... I read the book about him, read a couple books, and the guy's... I think he's got more luck than anybody I've ever come across. His campaigners, and when he was campaigning, all the things that would come up, and they said to him, like James Carville said to him, you know, I mean, what do you do? You're killing yourself. All these things that are coming up, and he just kind of brushes them aside and just says, you know, it'll take care of itself. And
yep, James Carville. I'm glad you brought his name up. Thank you. Did anybody happen to see Meet the Press 2 weeks ago Sunday? It featured James Carville and Mary Madeline. She is the Republican strategist. He is the Bill Clinton strategist. They are married. And they sat there and they both responded with due deference to the other. But you could see Carville cringing, you know, at what Madeline would say. And you've got to kind of wonder what kind of home life they have. Whether they discuss politics at home. I mean, these are two absolutely rabid ideological beings who somehow found love through it all. You know, but there's got to come a time, I mean, there are so many radical differences between the two that you could almost imagine dishes flying, chandeliers crashing. I mean, the home life, I wonder if they pull it off at home. They didn't really ask him about it. They should have, because it's what I was sitting there wondering as they were trying to answer these questions. Madeline cringing. Anyway, it was entertaining. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
This is Bob in Wichita.
Hello, Bob. How's everything in Kansas?
It's warm here.
Mm.
I haven't even lit my pilot light on the furnace yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we haven't had to really do too much of that here either, occasionally.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can imagine.
Anyway, what's up?
Well, I was against the Vietnam War. I was not mad at servicemen. That's ridiculous. And I don't like the idea of sending the troops to Bosnia either. And I hope that makes me consistent. I don't know. Do you think so?
Well, I wouldn't judge your view. I mean, you can have whatever view you want, I guess.
Well, yeah.
I would say that probably makes you fairly consistent. I really thought that we did have business resisting North Vietnam from consolidating their communist hold on the whole country. I thought the West had business, national security interest type business, doing that. Or at least there was a good argument for it. There is far less argument for putting men and women in harm's way in Bosnia. Far less. And that's why I read the letter from the president.
I enjoyed listening to it.
Yes. Well, it gives you insight into a man who is now doing what, ordering people to do what he refused to do himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
May I bring up a new subject?
Okay.
When, in 1,000 years, if we launch rockets to the east.
To where?
Pardon me?
If we launch rockets where?
Eastward.
Eastward?
In order to gain the 1,000 miles an hour that we start with, you know?
What?
Well, the Earth travels at 1,000 miles at the surface.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So we gain that 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
In putting in those, in putting up those rockets,
yeah.
It has an equal and opposite reaction, which would...
Well, escape velocity is somewhere around 18,000 miles an hour, sir.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about you get down to fine points. Even micro forces add up.
I have no idea what you're talking about. What do you
I wanted to tell you. After 1,000 years, all the accumulated forces of the rocket launchings would make the Earth slow.
Oh.
We don't know by a millisecond or what.
I've got you. All right, thank you. I see what he's saying now. He's saying that rockets launching themselves from the Earth's surface on a consistent basis, attaining escape velocity, will act sort of like retro rockets for the Earth, slowing the Earth itself. Finally, I grasped what he was trying to tell me there. I'm unsure exactly... frankly, how to respond to that. Interesting. Very interesting. I suppose it could be. Anything could be, right? We'll be back in just one minute. Yeah, I don't know whether we're slowing up the Earth or not. That sort of, well, you know, Art, if man had been meant to go out into space, God would have strapped rockets to his butt or something. So I don't know they've measured any slowing of the Earth as a result of all the rockets we fired. Be interesting to know. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art.
Hey,
how
sir.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Boy, you kind of took me off guard there.
Well, you were calling, so you should always expect the possibility you might get on the air.
Yeah, that's right. Well, this is Andy from Salt Lake City.
Oh, all right. KCNR.
That's right. I'm a police officer. I got to tell you, I've been working graveyards now for a couple of years.
Oh.
And I got most of the guys on my shift now hooked on your show.
Well, it makes it go faster, huh?
It does. It certainly does.
I hope it just doesn't absorb your attention so much that you miss something.
Well, no, unfortunately, there are times I miss most of your show, but, you know, some nights you get it and get some pretty good chunks of it.
So you patrol?
Yes, uh-huh.
It's kind of, I'm curious because the one time I visited Salt Lake, it was such a quiet, peaceful, simple place without obviously very much activity after dark, so there couldn't have been much crime. And I understand it has changed a very great deal, and your perspective as a police person would be interesting.
Yeah, well, how long ago was that, Art?
That was when I was very young, sir, after I got out of the military, so long time ago.
So a couple years ago, huh?
Yeah, a couple years.
Oh, it's, yeah, I think if you came back through here, you'd be surprised. It's grown a lot. There's, you know, I'm right in the Salt Lake County area, and there's about 1 million people pretty close to it.
Well, let me tell you, I can remember Salt Lake then, downtown, the city, had, like most cities, skyscrapers.
Mm-hmm.
And late at night, shortly after dark, you could kind of walk down the street, and it was almost like the world was closed. I mean, it was the doggonest thing I ever saw.
Shut down at 10 p.m., huh?
I mean, truly shut down. A major city shut down. It's not that way anymore, I guess.
No, it's not. It's hopping all night long now, and it keeps it pretty busy. But, yeah, we sure appreciate your show and enjoy it quite a bit. Enjoy the variety of topics.
Well, that's it. It is very eclectic, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you never know what you're going to get, do you? It's kind of like police work.
Yes, it is. As you know, if you've listened, I was a dispatcher 911 for Monterey County for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a lot of ride-alongs. I used to really enjoy it. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty exciting work.
I know the work you guys do.
As I'm sure
tell me something. Tell me
for you.
Tell me something. I'll tell you something that they did in Monterey County, actually all over the place. Do you guys at night ever play games?
Well, you better be careful. Some of the guys are probably listening to this. Right now.
You know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, sometimes you have to keep things interesting, I should say.
Yeah, boy, we used to have a blast, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty good crew I work with. And
all right, well, I wouldn't want you to say anything. I can read between the chuckles.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, but Sergeant's probably listening too, so.
Hey, Sarge. Just kidding.
That's right.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call.
Hey, I appreciate it, Art.
Thank you. Take care. Salt Lake City. Particularly the third shift. There are a lot of really fun games, which I will not go into for his sake and all the other officers' sake out there. I won't go into it. we did some really stupid things as well. Cops like practical jokes, and I can remember one cop, for example, taking a whole bunch of firecrackers and strapping them to a cigarette and hiding them under the bumper of another guy's patrol car. Well, you can pretty well imagine what the guys in the cop car did when they started going off under their bumper. They're about 2 miles down the street. Sick stuff. And that's some of the lighter stuff, actually. We'll be back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 5th, 1995. Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 5th, 1995.
It is live overnight talk radio because this radio station cares enough about you to have live talk radio on. 241 affiliates now, nationwide. Boy, it's getting so big. Here's a really nice fax from a ham. Hi, Art. Just wanted to let you know you ought to feel guilty. I've got a Kenwood TS-50 and a blah, blah, blah antenna system in my Blazer. And now all I use it for on my one-hour drive home from work at night, 2 in the morning, is listening to you on AM 760 WJR in Detroit. $2,000 worth of radio gear to listen to the AM broadcast band. I used to work DX all the way home. Thanks, Bernie, Flint, Michigan. Well. And then there's, hi, Art, I have noticed a strange tone in your voice whenever you were addressing anyone named Steve these days. Is it possible you will never be able to react normally to another Steve again? By the way, there must be something to the whole secret Steve phenomenon. I have so many friends named Steve that my other friends want me to create Steve flashcards just so they'll know which one I'm talking about in conversation. What does that say about me? Well, sir, my mama used to say birds of a feather. Now, I'm not sure that that relates directly to the Steve thing or not, but I'm afraid you're going to have to give it some thought yourself. It's your moral problem, not mine. You associate with Steve's, that's your business. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello there. Is this you, Art?
No.
Please?
Okay, then it is.
You sound so different.
Oh, no.
Yes.
And no one's ever told me that.
Oh, my. I'm not going to ask you how you are because you sound handsome and healthy.
I'm handsome.
Handsome and healthy.
Yeah, I guess I'm healthy.
So I just, I'm so upset over this Bosnian situation. I'm an 80-year-old woman. My name's Martha. I'm coming from Bend, Oregon.
Oh, yes, Martha.
And I'm so upset over it because I know I have two brothers that fought over there with the partisans during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
I lost track of them for 52 years because my mother and dad got a divorce. He took the boys back to Serbia. So the Red Cross helped me find them after the war. I went back in 1977, and I listened to Tito talk in the town square at Belgrade.
Wow.
And he said that he wanted the country to remain together because he said he wanted to follow the course of their wonderful friends, the United States.
Well, you know, Martha, I've been trying to figure out exactly what our presence there is going to accomplish. You know, the president says that it will be one nation, but we are going over there and, in effect, helping to divide it. The Serbs that live, for example, in Sarajevo are not going to be able to remain in Sarajevo. So we are going over there and actually helping to ethnically divide the country, even though we're claiming it's one country. I don't know how it ever can be. It's mission impossible. Martha, and when we leave, the fighting will resume. And if we have not armed the Bosnians, the slaughter then will also resume.
Well, what people don't understand is I research this carefully because I have relatives in Croatia and some in Serbia.
Well, then you know what I'm saying is true, Martha. Thank you. It's just, you know, it's been going on forever. And our 1 year there, if you believe that, certainly is not going to change what it is, without a doubt, a generational hatred that will span many, many generations. You listen to some of the interviews the networks are doing over there with the people who live there. You listen to that, and then you tell me that what we're doing is going to make some sort of difference. We better arm the Bosnians. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. This is Leslie from Reno.
Hello, Leslie.
Hi. I was reading in the paper today, and there was another thing about there was a baby that was born that was not breathing for about 20 minutes.
Right.
And all the doctors and technicians said said the baby was dead.
Okay.
And so I just wanted to add this to the other thing. It's not quite as dramatic
20
as
minutes.
3.5 hours.
Yeah, 20 minutes. That's one thing. But 3.25 hours,
mm-hmm.
That's really thoroughly completely, utterly dead. And,
oh, it is.
And that is a reanimation of a body.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
her muscle tone was limp, she was blue,
yeah.
Her reflexes didn't respond, and they checked her, you know, at 1, 5, and 10 minutes. And at 20 minutes, she started moving. And all the doctors said it was a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
They had no explanation for it at all.
Well, I've never seen a story like the one I saw tonight. What word? Oh, other than miracle, which has religious connotations. What word could you use?
Oh, it's amazing.
That is a word. All right, dear. Thank you. I don't know if that does it justice. Amazing? Amazing? No. It's more than amazing. Amazing is when something happens that surprises you. I was sent an article. Now, I have no way of knowing if this is true, but it named the man, and it named, he told the whole story. It may have been, I'm not sure of the publication, but it was about a man who took off in a hang glider in Baja, California. And they do a lot of hang gliding in Baja, California. And I had to go out and get the damn thing. And he caught a thermal, and he went up like a rocket ship. Now, that can certainly occur. But what happened is he then caught the trade wind, some sort of wind, and he was carried over a period of days, I said days, from Baja, California, and landed in Australia. He said sometimes his hang glider was so high that the ocean was nothing but a blur. You know how high that means. He was thousands of feet up. At other times, he was barely above the waves. There were many times he thought he would not make it. He did see some islands, but he was unable to get the kite down at those times, and he ended up in Australia. That is an amazing story. Coming back to life after over 3.25 hours is more than amazing. Maybe there is another word in between amazing and miracle, but I don't know what it would be. To me, it is a miracle. It is a reanimation of life. It is impossible. Impossible. So it is therefore miraculous in my mind. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Art?
Yes, turn your radio off, please.
Gotcha.
That is number one.
Listen, I just wanted to call you. This is John from Lexington. I just want to call you and tell you that lady that recently, about two people ago, called who had relatives in Bosnia. And so
oh, yes, so yes, yes.
You kind of cut her off, and I think that those are the kind of people that we ought to be hearing from.
Well,
she may have had some insight into what was going on, into the ethnic differences and so forth, and you sort of cut her off.
Well, I sort of cut off a lot of people, sir. We only have so much time on the air.
Yeah, but she wasn't on that long.
If you were sitting here, then you could have left her on. I know about the deep, and so do most people in America now, the deep ethnic differences. And what I pointed out after of all was that we are, if anything, going over there and we're saying we're making it one country, and we're not. We're standing in between the warring parties, and the Serbs are going to have to leave Sarajevo, and other people are going to have to leave, and it's all going to be divided off neatly into the respective ethnic areas.
Well, I realize that, but the point is that you seem to spend more time talking to people who do not have an intimate knowledge of what's going on over there, that call up about their sort of Americanized views of what's going on with very little knowledge. I just thought it might have been interesting to hear a little bit more from her, who is more intimately involved.
Well, this show has a policy, sir, that allows you to call every day, so she'll be able to call back.
Okay, Art. Thank you.
Thank you, and have a good morning. And I don't stay with anything too long, as I'm sure you have noticed. So I thought that she made her point about the ethnic differences, and there are. And so I moved on. Sorry if you thought it was short. It was short. A lot of calls are. We have a lot of calls to try to get to on the air. Wild card line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Thinking like a chess player, looking several moves in advance, and this is kind of conspiracy thinking. If, you know, these theories that the Russian perestroika, you know, even Gorbachev said they've never abandoned communism, the Serbs being a pawn in the hand of the Russians. If they were good boys for a year, it can make Clinton look good, and if he's part of a one-world conspiracy to more or less form this one-world government, that could be one possible explanation of why we're in Bosnia and not Rwanda or whatever, you know, any other place where there's...
You know, I hear about this all the time. Let's say we had one world, and Clinton was the one-world leader, okay? What kind of world would that be?
Well, you're looking at an accumulation of power. I would say for the United States, it would mean loss of a lot of our, what we call our freedoms from the Bill of Rights. And we're put into a world where we're just a small percentage. And if you're going to go by majority.
Do you think that Mr. Clinton would make us share our wealth with the rest of the world?
Well, right now he's squandering our strategic reserve, weakening our military.
Well, Norman.
Okay, sharing is one thing, but just confiscating what we have, taking away our rights.
Well, sir, how do you share unless you you cannot share what you first do not take away? In other words, he can't share our wealth with Mexico or Guatemala or Bangladesh or Africa without first taking it away from us. The government produces nothing. The government is not a business. It is not profitable. Its only resources are the taxpayer. So the government of necessity must always first take away from those who have to give to those who have not, whether it's in this country or anywhere else. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good morning, sir.
Oh, you've got a very bad connection. Where are you?
I'm in Ohio. I'm in a truck rolling down the highway.
In Ohio in a truck. Okay.
Okay, basically what I have to say is I think right now there should only be four people going to Bosnia. Clinton, Bob Dole, and Gingrich, and one other. I want Jane Fonda to go to see what really happens in warfare.
Well, maybe she could report for Ted's network.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a feeling that if she goes, she probably protests enough where it wouldn't happen. You know, I mean, it would embarrass Clinton to death to have her next to him.
Well,
I think they need to go on a minesweeping detail.
Think about it. All right. Thank you very much for the call and the wish. The thing about Jane Fonda and all the Jane Fondas out there right now is that they have had a role reversal. In other words, you recall Jane on the AK-AK gun up in North Vietnam. Remember that shot where she was actually on an AK-AK gun like she was going to shoot down American aircraft? That was really something. But now we've got a president ordering American men into harm's way. And I don't know about you, but I haven't heard one word yet from Jane Fonda. Or is it Jane Fonda Turner? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, Art.
Yes.
Did you hear about what Clinton did when he signed the accords over in Madrid about giving away intellectual property rights by the year 2000? There'd be no tariffs on the transfer of intellectual property from the United States into foreign countries. Now, my interpretation of that is that all royalties on patents and copyrights at the year 2000 will become null and void. Is
okay.
That your interpretation of that?
Well, I don't see how he can do that. We're having a big fight with China with regard to intellectual rights right now, and the GATT treaty that was signed protects intellectual copyrights and so forth. So I can't imagine how he could do that.
Well, he just did it, and in my opinion, if I'm interpreting this thing correctly, and I hope I'm not, if my interpretation is correctly, I think the transfer of money will be in maybe in the trillions, not in the billions, in the trillions. I can't conceive, the way it's worded, I can't figure out what they're trying to say. Did you read it?
No.
It was on the wire service.
Uh-huh. No, I didn't, and I really cannot imagine that's what it would mean, because it would be contradictory to everything we just tried to accomplish and just did accomplish with GATT. with regard to intellectual rights. So it makes no sense.
This Clinton hasn't made any sense since he's been in office.
Well, that's a different argument.
I don't know.
I hope. I will find out about it, and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
All right? Thank you very much. Why would you give away what you just negotiated? First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yes, Art.
Hello.
This is Ken from Cincinnati.
Hello, Ken.
Getting you on WJR in Detroit.
It's a big one, isn't it?
Sure is, but it is fading a little in and out tonight. But
well, that's what it does.
I want to respectfully disagree with you on the Michael New decision.
All right.
I know people that, incidentally, that are working in the Pat Buchanan campaign that are trying to get his father to appear with Pat.
Why? I heard Pat Buchanan comment on the Michael New thing on Meet the Press, and Mr. Buchanan's comment was that Michael New should obey a lawful order.
I believe he's since modified that opinion. That was several weeks ago.
Okay, and what has he said since?
Well, I don't want to put words in his mouth exactly, but he has adopted a more sympathetic attitude toward it.
I see.
But if I could quote just one sentence here from the Army Field Manual, which I understand Michael New is going to use to defend himself. It says, "Moral courage is as important as physical courage. You show moral courage when you do something based on one of your values or moral principles, knowing that the action may not be in your best interest. Mm-hmm. It takes special courage to support unpopular decisions. Stand up for your beliefs and what you know is right. If you believe you are right, after sober and considered judgment, hold your position." That's right out of the Army Field Manual under military leadership.
You know what? It sounded just exactly like what Bill Clinton wrote to in that letter that I read in the first hour.
Yes, but the big difference there is Michael New puts America first and Bill Clinton puts an international one world government philosophy first. And I believe it would be a good precedent. In fact, there's already another staff sergeant named Sudweeks that has followed New. He's stationed in America, but he has said he would not wear the UN insignia either.
Well, then he also is disobeying a lawful order and ought to be court-martialed.
Well, that's where we disagree, because I believe it could set a precedent.
Well, but I'm right and you're wrong, sir. I appreciate your call. It is not the way to change an order you don't like. The way to do that is to get rid of the treaty. I'm sorry. I was in the military. In the military, you obey lawful orders. We'll be back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 5th, 1995. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 5th, 1995.
Top of the morning, everybody. Good to be here. Now 241 affiliates strong all across this great country and actually way beyond. Amazing, huh? Rejoined by an affiliate that once left us, KUGR, in Green River, Wyoming. Another new affiliate coming in Colorado Springs. Big one, too. I'll be telling you more about that. Totaling 241 now is really getting big out there, isn't it? All right, now, let me begin this hour, I guess, with an ad in a way. You know we're going to Bosnia. As a matter of fact, late news is that more troops than we have admitted are already in Bosnia. The BBC is talking about that. I told you. The BBC and other European shortwave stations will give you news that you will not get by omission here in the country. If you really want to know what the hell's going on, you've got to get shortwave. Bosnia, of course. Schwarzkopf on Bosnia. Says we, you know, since Desert Storm, we have reduced our total military forces by about 30%. It's almost one-third, you know. And he said, trouble is, if we get involved more and more in Bosnia, and then the jerk in North Korea comes across the DMZ, we could be in trouble. Or if Saddam decides he's going to kick up his heels, we could be in trouble. In other words, we might not have enough service people to cover everything at once. That is sage advice from a general who knows what he's doing. I read at the beginning of the program, and if you didn't hear it, I'm sorry, the president's full letter, the one he wrote when he evaded service in Vietnam. If you are able to get a repeat of the first hour of this program, I suggest you listen very carefully to it, because it is very revealing of the convenient, elastic morality of the man who now sends people to do that which he would not do. That is not a trivial matter. So we're talking obviously about Bosnia. I mean, it's unavoidable. That's one thing. And the other is the baby in Kalamazoo, Michigan. It is the most remarkable, incredible, good, cool Christmas story. It's more than that. I really don't know what you would call this, and you tell me what you would call it. Kalamazoo, Michigan, yesterday, aired on CNN at 9 o'clock. A mother, pregnant. Her baby, 16 weeks premature. Stillbirth. The child comes out, purple. No life signs. Dead. Totally purple, I mean totally almost a purple to black color of the skin. No brain waves, no heartbeat, no breathing. In Kalamazoo, they have a program that after the doctors have done their heroic best and a child has been declared dead, they allow the mother to hold the dead child. For good reason. I mean, you know, psychological reasons. It allows a bonding. It allows the mother to know that which now she will never know again and come to terms with her child's death. It is a very sensitive, reasonable program. This child had been dead for 3 1/4 hours, and the mother was in this grieving, bonding process with it. I said 3 1/4 hours, when suddenly it began gasping for breath. The doctors and the nurses were right there. They about fell over. They grabbed the child, put it on life support, and as far as I know at this hour, they of course have no way of knowing about brain damage right now, but nearly as they know at this hour, the child continues to live. I said 3 1/4 hours. That is not amazing. It's beyond amazing. It is a miracle. That is the word I care. That is the word I attach to that. I don't know what you would call it, but you're welcome to call it whatever you want. You try and explain it. Mr. Bell, regarding the baby on the CNN report who had been pronounced dead 3 1/2 hours later resumed breathing, I'm sure there will be many explanations and theories posed trying to explain the reason. As you said, this is a miracle. And because most people feel uncomfortable with miracles, this will probably be filed away simply to be forgotten. Not by me. There will be, as you say, sir, many people who will simply file this away and try to forget it. Because they cannot explain it. Can you? Any of you have a good scientific explanation for reanimation after 3.5 hours? Anybody out there want to take a shot at that one? And this, Art, even though the White House numbers are running 4-1 against troops going to Bosnia, this is still a near guaranteed win for Bill Clinton. When the troops get there, one of two things is going to happen. One, the peace will be held, no troops killed. Bill Clinton looks like a genius, yes? Or two, troops begin to drop like flies. There is a public outcry, and Bill will come up with the following, quote, "You have spoken, and I have listened. I today am ordering our peacekeeping troops home since there is no peace to keep." And then, boom, his popularity numbers will skyrocket just in time for the election. I think this may turn out to be a win-win situation, either way, for Bill. And I like this. I had a caller call up earlier, a man who said, "We're firing rockets off constantly to the east," I believe he said, "and that is slowly slowing the earth." Dear Art, regarding the retro rocket caller, I think the old laugh-in line is appropriate. Very interesting, but stupid. About the baby, do you remember your own question about the proof of God? As always, a great show. Crazy Jim, he signs it, in Milwaukee. And this, dear Art, scientists are vastly concerned about the hazards of slowing the Earth's rotation to walking speed by the incessant eastward outbound rockets. Therefore, they launch an equal number of rockets to the west as well. But what I'm afraid of are the north to south outbound rocket launches. Think about that. It's from New Orleans, I think. Oh, no, Columbus, Georgia. The professor, he calls himself in Columbus, Georgia. So that gives you a little bit of a hint of what we're talking about this morning. The book signing offer is now over. You can still get my book for Christmas if you would like. And they have a service now that will get it to you like in 2 days or something. You know, if you want to get it next day or whatever, you can order my book that way. On my first time caller line, you're on the air.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Yes, I'm calling from Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara, KQMS.
Yes, 990.
That's the one.
And I was just shocked when I heard you read Bill Clinton's letter in entirety.
Yes.
I thought, what? And I was wondering, do you think that he lost his soul a long time ago?
Yes.
Or is this something that has happened over time?
Okay, I'm going to have to ask you to speak up good and loud. You're very weak here. Get right close to that phone and speak way up.
Okay.
All right, that's better. Do I think he lost his soul?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in a way. I think that when, and you could tell by the letter, that early on he had purity political aspirations. And I think that in a way, when you make a decision that you're going to go into politics, you do, in a way, sign your soul over. Bill Clinton is the consummate politician. I call him the monster from the id. We created him. He is our creation, you know. I mean, we wanted a man who would tell us what we want to hear. And
we
found him.
For him. Yes.
That's right. We found him. That's Bill Clinton. And we have elevated him to the highest office in the land. So we are getting exactly what we voted for.
So he spent so much time composing that letter, so much thought into that.
Oh, yes.
And, my goodness, he must have really had a lot. I mean, this was not a casual thing to him even back then.
Right.
And I was wondering, how can he even sleep knowing he's going to be sending thousands of young men and women to be slaughtered?
Well, I think that when you, in essence, sign your soul over, you begin to sleep well at night, just as I believe Charlie, who calls the show occasionally, sleeps well at night. If you have no conscience, you have nothing to stir you and keep you awake.
Mm-hmm.
So you sleep very well. Thank you very much for the call. You sleep very well indeed. It's hard for people with a conscience and with a high sense of ethics and morality to understand even the existence of those without it. It seems impossible. But it is true. And if you listen to that letter from Bill Clinton, you understand that at a very early age, he committed himself to a political life. And in a way, that means you sign your soul over, because to be the consummate politician, you have got to be a good liar. Being a good politician means being a good liar. In modern America, it does. Now, it may not have always been that way. But in modern America, you better be a good liar. You've got to be able to, look people in the face and say things like, read my lips, no new taxes, and, just know that you don't mean it. Sorry, George. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Everett.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, bud?
I do.
Okay. Now, I don't care about Clinton.
You don't care about Clinton? You don't care about the president of the U.S.?
Well, I mean, it could be, somebody from prison. I mean, Woodrow Wilson?
Huh?
It could be Woodrow Wilson.
No, it couldn't. He's
dead.
Yes,
it could. Yes, it could. Because
no, he's dead.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Let's say we put troops in there, okay?
No, let's not say it. They're already there.
We peacekeep to the north and to the south, but we got jihad to the south.
All right. Well, jihad, sir, thank you for the call. Jihad, now, he's talking about the Islamic fundamentalism there, and the jihad is a religious war. And so I'm not exactly sure where you were going with that. There are people who hate our guts. There is simply no question about that. I'm not precisely sure where you were going with that. It began to seem a little drifty to me. There is and has been a jihad against us forever. I mean, they don't like us. The Islamic world does not like the West. And ultimately, there is going to be a clash. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Jake in Columbia, Missouri.
Hi, Jake.
Hi. It's really a miracle what happened with the baby up there, isn't it?
I can't find another word for it.
It'd be nice to know if he or she lived to make a full recovery after that.
Now, if there is no brain damage, if there's no brain damage, then it is utterly and so completely inexplicable.
Unbelievable.
It can't be. And
really?
And I think that it's so inexplicable right now that people are having a hard time reacting to it. They're going, whoa.
I don't know. I don't know what to think.
Exactly. And I think that's exactly the way most people feel. And I've been chewing over, I had more of a chance to chew it over. The story ran at 9 o'clock last night.
Uh-huh.
And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, wow.
I didn't get to see it. I would have liked to have seen it.
Well, I bet CNN is still running it.
Oh, they'll probably play it all day tomorrow.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I had one other thing to say. I appreciate you telling exactly where to find these your bulletin board
pictures.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I downloaded skull off of that one time.
Oh, Max? I was, Max? That's
no,
Max.
No, I didn't get Max. It was some archaeological find.
Oh, you got to get Max.
And I wasted about 10 minutes downloading that.
You got to see Max.
Yeah, yeah. What's the name of that?
Max the Crystal Skull. It's max.gif, I think.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
Okay?
Have a good night, Art.
Right, take care. And the new ghost photograph is cool. I mean cool. I don't put them up there unless, you know, there's really good cause, and this one is cool. So if you're interested in this sort of thing, I've got to remember to mention that again tomorrow night. Ooh, it's cool. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, this is Chris from Kansas City.
How you doing?
Great. What's going on?
First of all, what's going on is your radio, and it needs to be going off.
Okay, turn the radio off.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wanted to ask you, when are you going to do the Madman interview?
Well, a madman called me and affirmed that he was still in this dimension and was supposed to call me back and has not done it. His life is in sort of a flux right now.
It is.
Yes, not exactly a magnetic flux, but in flux. And so he will call.
Oh, he will.
When he calls, we'll do the show.
Okay, another thing I want to ask you. Tell you about, did you hear that Tom Likas is coming in Kansas City?
Yes, I heard that he's going to do a show there in Kansas City. And then Tom Likas is going to come to Las Vegas as well, I think sometime in January.
Mm. I was just wondering if you want me to ask him any questions for you.
No. I'd just soon take the high road here.
Soon take the high road, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it should be interesting, huh?
You ask him what do you want to ask him?
I don't know. I just kind of ask him how his ratings are doing.
See what he says.
How many affiliates you got now?
241.
241. Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the Chiefs? You think they're winning against Miami?
I think they've got a good chance, yes.
I think so, too. All right. Well, it was great talking to you.
All right, take care. The only gripe I have with the Chiefs is that they have always screwed me up. In other words, if I go bet on them because I think they're romping stomping, they screw me up and I lose my bet. Every time, almost. And if I bet against them, they have a good week, and they absolutely tromp the team. So, in other words, I have not had good betting luck with the Chiefs. But they're a great football team. There's no doubt about that. It's just they've let me down so many times. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. I'm confused. On one hand, you sort of say that in the past, Clinton committed himself to politics, but then by sending the troops to Bosnia, you're also saying that it's no political advantage, that he's not thinking of politics.
Well, that's because I cannot imagine a political upside to what he is doing.
So maybe he's learned something.
Well, you think so? What is it? What lesson do you believe he has learned?
Probably, I think once he gets into the office, whoever it is learns some secrets that really boggle the mind.
Think so?
And could be hidden plutonium over there that requires ground troops.
In other words, you're trying to imagine some truly important national security reason for doing what he is doing that we are not privy to.
Yeah, like why did you say that Woodrow Wilson would hit that comet?
I'm sorry?
Why did you say that Woodrow Wilson would hit that comet?
Why? Well, because he may just fly off, and the comet actually would hit him. You see, it wouldn't be the other way around. He's not flying out.
But you admit it. You did say that.
I said that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
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 Does that make you happy?
Yeah.
All right. Goodbye. That guy is utterly full of nonsense, so I thought I would, for a change, meet him at his own level, which is nowhere near commentary. That was not commentary, but commentary. Oh, boy. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air, but I just realized I'm coming into a break here. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
You are? Where are you?
I'm from Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon. That's a pretty cool place to be. Do you want to hold on?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, then hold on through the break, and we will come back to you in Portland. Woodrow Wilson is out there. That comet better be careful. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 5th, 1995. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired December 5th, 1995.
Good morning, everybody. Good to have you here. You're listening to Spontaneous, Crazy, Full Moon, Talk Radio. And as you can see, we don't screen calls except on the air. We sort of screen on the air here, and that results in rough edges. But I really wouldn't have it any other way. It gives you a sense of the night, a sense of what's out there. And now we're going back to Portland, and let's see what's up in Portland. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Sadan. What's going on?
I don't know.
I've been listening to your show for about 2 years now. I got turned on to it by a friend of mine. I just wanted you to know that I really honor you for all the things you do.
Thank you.
Being in Japan, I think you know what that means.
Well, that sounds kind of sounds like you're about to hand me a beer. This is for all you do.
But anyway, it's good to see that you're a good icon of change that people can, like, you know, rally around.
I am.
Just one question is basically, once the quickening speeds up and things fall apart, will you still broadcast?
Oh, I'll call it as it happens. I'm going to provide color for the quickening, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I've told everybody, as the comet comes in, my wife will be on the porch. She'll be doing the color commentary from the porch. Go out there every few minutes. Yes, seems to be getting larger. Oh, look at those flames. Look at those pieces breaking away as she starts to enter the atmosphere. Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I've been watching what's been going on
here,
around
right here.
Bosnia and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I really wouldn't be surprised if, like, because all the parties involved, somebody just finally gets fed up and blows up the entire area. The emotions are running that high.
Well, there's going to be trouble.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be trouble. Wars aren't anything but trouble.
And this war isn't over. I mean, it's like, because they initialed, and we bombed them to initial in Dayton, and then we're going to continue that threat to get them to sign in Paris. We think it's over, but I don't think they think it's over. And that they're the ones that count.
Just one more question, a little more closer to home.
Sure. Doesn't involve Mr. Wilson, does it?
No, it doesn't. Actually, I did go to high school named after him. But anyway, I'm living on the streets currently, you know, here in Portland. I just happened to be blessed with being over at a friend's place so I could give you a call.
Oh, I see.
Usually I live out in the, you know, woods, in the camps, and, you know, with the camps and stuff with, you know, street people.
You haven't seen Bigfoot, have you?
No, actually, you know, we've been looking for him, though.
Well, keep your eye out. So, anyway, yes.
But, you know, we've been talking about, you know, the way things go. I've turned a lot of people on, every intellectual I know, different, you know, levels of society and stuff, all on to, you know, your show. Get them to key in, talk about some of the things. By the way, your dreamland on nanotechnology is rocking my world and everyone else's that I, you know, talk
to. Well, in February, we're going to come out with a big issue of the newsletter devoted to nanotechnology and a lot of photographs.
Cool. I'll definitely be looking for it. I really want to, you know, key into this.
Well, maybe you can get a general delivery somewhere.
Well, yeah, definitely. But basically the question is don't you think there might be a way that we can turn good culture, kind of like your last Dreamland guest,
yes.
I can't remember her name.
Moira Timms.
Yes, she has a very, very good stance on things. I like the attitude she has, you know, where religions are a lot like the color of skin. You know, if we're not going to get past them, you know, we're pretty much doomed. We kind of got to see things from a central point.
Well, then we're doomed. See,
yeah.
that's where, look, sir, I've got to run. That's where Maura and I differed. She looks at the half-full glass of water, and in this regard, I look at the half-empty glass of water. I'm afraid that my half-empty glass is the pragmatic glass. And I, as you know, I think the little cockpit point of no return light went on some time ago. It's just what I think. We have got in January an issue of the newsletter that is devoted entirely to the quickening. Boy, you ought to see the cover. It's really cool. In February, one of the articles is going to be on nanotechnology. Now, what is today's date? Let me see. It's supposed to be on my log. Yep, today is the 5th. In 5 days, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the price of our newsletter goes up. So, and it goes up $10 to $39.95. It is now $29.95 a year. You can now order up to 3 years at $29.95. In 10 days, that's all over. So, a word to the wise, I keep telling you, order the newsletter now or renew. You can do that now at the present rate, or it's going to go up. That's all there is to it. So, there you are. I mean, it's like do or die. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
I can't believe I got through.
Maybe you didn't.
Well,
maybe it's a lie.
Oh, I hope not.
No, you're on the air. Where are you?
I'm in Wichita, Kansas.
Wichita?
Yes, I heard a man calling from here earlier.
That's right. KFH.
Well, yes. I'm wondering how we can hear you longer. We get you from 1 to 4 in the morning.
Well, what do they do at 4 o'clock?
Well, they have somebody else come on.
Well, I don't know. I would say call KFH.
Okay.
And, you know, now, if you know, when radio stations begin their morning show at like 5 o'clock, then there's not a lot you can do about it because that's when they start their morning show.
Right.
And that's reasonable. But if they've got another program on in there, you might ask them to carry one more hour. And, you know, if enough people ask, maybe they will do it.
I'll do that. I have several things I want to get in here, so I'll go quick.
All right.
I've ordered your book, and I can't wait to get it.
I can't wait for you to get it either.
And I wanted to ask you if anyone had ever gotten more than the 3 Hubble space views. Or is that the only thing they've released to the public?
That's all I've seen.
Well, I ordered some. And just for anyone that might want to know where they can get them, and you can have them printed any size. It's a Pounds Laboratory, P-O-U-N-D-S, in Dallas, Texas.
I got to be a little careful here, dear.
Okay, I'm sorry. But made a lot of calls trying to find out where to get those. And
sure.
These are available to the public, and of course you have to pay for them.
Of course.
But anyway, I was tickled to get them.
They're going to be in our newsletter this month.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
In color?
In color.
Well, I'm excited.
The color ones are hard to get.
Yes, uh-huh. The other thing I wanted to mention is, do you remember the lady that called in that had found a little dead bird?
No.
Then some time ago, she brought the little bird in and she nursed it. And
oh, I do remember
okay.
that. Yes.
That got more response from the radio audience than this miracle baby. You remember?
Yeah.
I'm confounded about that.
I mean, this miracle baby... you know what I think it is? I think people are so blown by it that they don't know what to say.
Yeah,
and I really do believe that's it. I have no problem with it. I can sit here and speculate to death about it. I love this kind of story. I mean, reanimation after 3.5 hours.
I know. It's a miracle.
Yep.
But people were more interested and responded to the lady with the dead bird.
Well, you know.
Than they have to this human miracle.
It is true.
The other thing I wanted to ask you is if you've ever heard of the Creation Evidences Museum in Glen Rose, Texas.
Oh, yes, I absolutely have.
Well, I've ordered their tapes. Have you seen those?
No, not yet. But I've heard of them.
Well, maybe you'll be talking about that on
Dreamland.
Dreamland some night.
All right. Ma'am, thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. The KFH in Wichita, Kansas. Now, as I just told that lady, if the radio station you are listening to goes to a morning show, you know, their morning show after our show, then there's probably not very much hope of getting the hours extended. But if they've got something else plugged in there, then it would certainly be worth your giving them a call and saying, hey, how about giving us another hour of Coast? And I always like to remind everybody, when you do that, do it politely. You've got to really get to the program director or the manager of the radio station. And the worst thing that you can do is say, you know, call up and say, hi, you know that program you've got on after Coast to Coast? It's really a piece of crap. Why do you run such baloney on your radio station? This is the wrong approach. And it tends to cause the hair on the back of their neck to go straight out. And they get defensive, and they say to themselves immediately, what a jerk. Because, see, they're probably the person who decided to put that there in the first place. So, when you say that it's junk, you're telling them that they're a jerk. That's very bad. Don't do that. Be, instead, positive. And simply say what you would like, or what you would enjoy them doing. Not so much a commentary on what you don't like as what you do like, and you're a lot more likely to have success. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Thank God I got through. This is John in Midwest City, Oklahoma, and I'm upset tonight.
Why?
Would you know any reason why WKY930 would pull you off the air?
No, except things happen.
You're not on the air tonight.
Well, that happens.
I'm trying to pull you in on, WJR?
Detroit.
Yeah, I kind of get a faint. I can hear you a little bit up there. It kind of fades in and out. But
I would think WOAI down in San Antonio would be blasting in there.
It fades just as much.
Does it?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, you can get it from both ways.
Yeah.
No, you know, things happen night to night.
It's a rebroadcast of some daytime talk show from back during the bombing.
Yeah. Oh, really? Well, you know, what happens is they have satellite troubles on some nights, and so they have to do something.
I hope this ain't nothing permanent, though, ain't it?
I don't think this ain't nothing permanent.
That's good. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yes?
You've made your point that you're not going to write another book and that you have much worth for the television media.
No, I don't.
But I gotta sit there.
No, wait. I want to qualify that.
Okay.
I watch TV. So I don't say that television doesn't have worth. I say that I don't like TV for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I just flat don't like it.
Okay, here's your scenario.
Okay.
Someone from one of the three major networks get a hold of your book, and they read it, and they go, you know what, Fred? This might not make a bad movie of the week.
No.
You wouldn't be interested in something like that?
No.
Seeing your face play on the big screen?
No.
Yeah. It'd be a way for people to get to know you. The book's better, though.
See, books are always better.
Yeah.
Everybody who reads a book and then sees the movie, they're always disappointed anyway.
Yeah, but then you can always get some sexy movie star to play your part.
Well, the only person who could really do it would be Daniel Ortega, and he's involved in other things.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I hope they get you back on the air.
Well,
I'm about to lose you here in about.
Well, all right, you give them a call.
I'm about to lose you in about 10 minutes because WAI and I think WJR both go off the air, take you off the air at 4 o'clock, I think.
Well, WJR is on East Coast time, you see,
mm-hmm.
So it's 5 o'clock almost back there, and
yeah.
Yes, that's when they begin their morning show.
Yeah, they're an hour ahead of me.
And I don't know what it is OAI does it for, you know,
yeah,
good morning somebody or another, something. So, give them a call. I'm sure they've got satellite trouble.
Yeah, I just got a little paranoid.
Oh.
I like your show. I've been listening to you now for a couple of years, and I don't know what I'd do without you on at late night.
Thank you. Well, as the bumper sticker says, stuff happens. Thanks for the call, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. With 241 affiliates, There are. Do you realize what it takes to get a program from point A to point B, which in this case is from my little radio room here, to all these radio stations all over the country? If I were to explain it, your eyes would glaze over, or you would be amazed, or you wouldn't believe it. All the satellite hops and technology and digital transmission and all the rest of it, it is nothing short of amazing, but it does work. And again, you know, you hear Rush say all the time, it doesn't matter where here is, you know, as long as I'm here on the radio, right? So you've got to wonder, if that's really true, then why is he in Manhattan? Wild card line, you're on the air.
Yeah, let me turn my radio down here.
Turn it off all the way, actually.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah, this is Mike from Portland. I talked to you last night. You said I couldn't call twice.
That's right.
Okay,
I'm calling
this time. It's a different show.
That's right, and that's fine.
Okay. Well, I've got some information for you that I've checked up.
Okay.
About the distance of braking speed.
Braking speed for...
Asked me how far it would take if you're going 75 miles an hour to slow a truck down?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, that would depend on the weight of the truck. Like, the maximum weight you can be is 80,000 pounds.
All right, let's say it's 80,000 pounds.
Okay, 80,000 pounds. If you have at least a half inch of brake pad, which is my law, you have to have at least a half inch of brake pad, it takes 1,235 feet to stop on dry pavement.
That'd run over a whole bunch of Volkswagens.
Yeah, it sure would. And another thing about drafting, you said you draft behind a truck. That's called drafting, what you're talking about.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called drafting. Now, there's no feasible way that a truck could pull you. If you're on a downhill slope and you get in his draft pattern, you could stay with him. His truck will pull you a little ways, but it won't pull you very far. If you're on level ground...
I did this on level ground in the Midwest.
How far did he supposedly pull you?
I did it for about 6 or 7 minutes. And what I did is, and I really don't want to air this because some idiot out there is going to try it. And get killed.
I understand it. You know, there aren't a lot of idiots out there.
And you know, it was at a high rate of speed, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to talk about it anymore, but I did it. I'm telling you, I did it. Disbelieve it if you want. I don't care.
I'm not disbelieving. I just want to know the distance of that you actually did it for.
Five or six minutes at about 75 miles an hour.
Okay, well, you know what?
I got right up behind the truck and threw it into neutral and turned the engine off.
Hmm. Well, you're lucky you didn't hit the DOT bar in the back of the trailer. Then.
Yeah. I know. Don't try that.
One other thing, though.
Yes?
Now, you were talking about Bigfoot. Now, I'm originally from Great Falls, Montana.
Yeah.
And I've been out in the woods numerous times when I was in the Boy Scouts, we went out all over.
I was out in the woods, too. I was a Boy
and
Scout.
And I've yet to see any footprints, hear any screams about Bigfoot.
Doesn't mean it's not there.
Oh. Well, if you've been in the woods as extensively as I have...
Yeah, I know, but how can you even know, for example, how many Boy Scouts have been gobbled by Bigfoot?
None that I know of.
Well, that's right. See, there you are. So you can't know how many. And it could be that Bigfoot would regard Boy Scouts as particularly munchable, like a snack. Probably spits out the merit badges. Otherwise, down they go. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello?
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is John and Rosita.
How you doing, John?
I want to make reference to one of your earlier callers. That, you know, sometimes there'll be really tough, bad things happening in the world, and they'll show the leaders of the world, the country, they're pretty relaxed and smiling like it's no big deal, like possibly they know something that we don't. And I was just thinking about, like, Yeltsin and Clinton, you know, when they're laughing at the media, before we're going to Bosnia. And all
I remember
this.
That, yeah.
Well, my contention is that these people certainly know about a lot of stuff that the public isn't privy to. And also I think technology in reality is possibly way beyond what the normal public knows about.
All right, sir. We'll have to hold it there. In other words, they may know about the Greys and the saucers in Area 51, and so they're laughing. We'll be back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 5th, 1995. Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 5th, 1995.
There's a full moon out there. Big old full moon out there. Now, I don't know technically if it's full, but when I go out and look at it, it sure does look full to me. Somebody actually might call me. Let me know. Is it technically full tonight? It sure sounds like it. I've got a couple of faxes here you've got to hear. But first I had to get my blood going. These are the gals who do it. They had to use this for people with low blood pressure, you know? It would work. I love it. Pointer Sisters. You know who they remind me of? I saw a movie this last weekend that I thought was absolutely tremendous. It was called Sugar Time. Has anybody seen that out there? I think the McGuire sisters are sort of the Pointer Sisters. And the Pointer Sisters are kind of the McGuire sisters of their time. Both of them, birth of a preacher man. And in both cases, they went on to get real popular. Anybody seen Sugar Time? Boy, that was a good movie. And it was the story of Phyllis McGuire, who, by the way, lives now in Las Vegas, I understand. If you get an opportunity to see that movie, see it. It's called Sugar Time, and it sucked me right in. Boy, was it good. You know who I would really, really like to interview? Phyllis McGuire. I bet she wouldn't do it. But if you get an opportunity, have any of you seen Sugar Time? Wouldn't it be cool to interview Phyllis McGuire? Just a tremendous movie. You get a chance, go rent it or something. It's called Sugar Time. And it's about Las Vegas, and it's about the McGuire sisters, and it's about Phyllis McGuire. And I have no way of knowing how much of it is true or not. But I would give my right arm to be able to interview Phyllis McGuire and ask her about it. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Morning, Art.
Good morning, sir.
Calling from Reno.
Reno, yes.
Did somebody yet call in about the article in the Reno Gazette Journal yesterday?
No.
Well, you were talking about the baby?
Right.
Right. Reno Gazette Journal, it's a miracle baby for Reno area couple. After 20 minutes, a technician arrived for the stillbirth process and saw the baby was moving. Pronounced dead by two doctors. So I just thought you'd like to hear something else is going on this side of the
all
world.
All right, let me give you yet another one. Dear Art, if, as you said, the baby was 16 weeks premature and was stillborn, Then we may have just discovered the precise moment the soul enters the body. Great news for all of the pro-choice crowd. Roy in Loveland, Colorado.
This baby was 2 pounds, 5 ounces, and
wow.
It shows it in an incubator, so I didn't get the whole article read here for you. Let's see, 10 weeks premature.
10 weeks. But I mean, how can anything, I don't care, premature, anything, dead for 3 1/4 hours come to life?
Well, Art, after 20 minutes, after 5 minutes, you're brain dead.
People have come, yeah, that's right. At room temperature, you're doggone right. I've heard of cases where people, for up to an hour, have come out of freezing water and survived. But not at room temperature, not for 20 minutes, not for 3 hours.
But something might be going on here. You know, we keep talking about the quickening. You do,
you
too.
You bet. You betcha.
And up here in the Sierras, we're having no rain, no snow, no nothing compared to last year.
I know. Even in Alaska, sir. In fact, I should invite, take a listen. I think this man's on to something. Something's going on. Can't you feel it? Something's changing. You know, the guy I called a little while ago about the government death clinics or whatever it was. How would you not want to stick around to see where all this is going? Oh, man, these are very exciting times. Very exciting times. There should be a lot of snow up in Anchorage, up in Alaska. Some of you Alaskans, call down here. Has it begun to snow yet? I know it's getting cold. I saw the weather charts, and the wind chill was way down below zero for Anchorage, I believe. How cold is it getting, one? And two, are you getting any snow yet? It's a weird year. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Bell. Carl, Como Country. How are you today?
Just fine. Glad to have you.
Yes, sir. Well, I hope all is well, and particularly as we approach the holiday season. And that brings up a question in my mind concerning depression of the season, which I can relate to a certain extent. But beyond that, for many years, due to declining physical condition, I'm only about a year or two older than you are. However, unable to find myself ready to face the 21st century, I wanted to ask you what you personally felt about the improvement of the quality of human life, generally speaking, by the introduction of euthanasia clinics to benefit those of us who might voluntarily opt out of the loop, in fact would. What would be your read on that as a viable governmental policy?
Well, I would say it's not viable.
Considering our present moral code, all of the moral hand-wringing and hypocrisy, I take it you're referring to that?
No, I'm referring to it's not the government's job to be into death any more than it is into a lot of the rest of our personal lives.
If
people want to do themselves in, there's a multitude of ways to do that. You don't need the government help.
Mm-hmm. Well, since the government is...
Hold it. Wait. Why would you want to go to a euthanasia clinic?
Well, you know, one thing I've always remembered since about 1975, you might recall the movie Soylent Green.
Yes.
Starring Edward G. Robinson and Charlton Heston.
Yes.
I remember that one scene in there where it was so such a streamlined operation, and it seemed to me to make total, complete sense, logic. In other words, this is the way to do it because...
So you think the government could make the death trains run on time?
Been done before, and since they're into every facet of our existence anyway, I thought,
yeah.
Why not enter this arena?
I'm astounded that you would suggest it.
Well, years ago, I would have been equally astounded, but due to prevailing circumstances, the decline of the country, our political system, the system of economics, and the technology coming in the next century, which is actually here right now.
Yeah, but don't you really want to stick around long enough to see how it all comes out? I mean,
Well, Art, I won't profess to have seen it all, not by any means, but in 5.2 decades of existence, I dare say I've seen enough. What I've seen and heard and experienced is a great sufficiency.
Gee, not for me.
Well, I guess it's all in how you view things, but I wanted to put this idea forward to see...
Okay, well, you believe me, you'll get a reaction from the audience. Government death clinics. What do you folks think? Good idea, bad idea? Report here. fill out the form, put your Social Security number, let's have your fingerprint, into the chamber you go. Crushed like a puppy. Yeah, great. Government death chambers. Sure, why not? Not me. I'm going to stick around for, you know, I realize there are a lot of negative things going on, but to me it is like a great story. I mean, it's better than the OJ trial. On a daily basis, things like the miracle in Kalamazoo, things like that, on a day-to-day basis, how can you not want to see what's coming next? Besides, think of all the forms you'd have to fill out. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. This is Dave in Illinois.
Hello, Dave.
Hi. I was wondering if you had a chance to check on the bombs in Roswell that I called you about last night.
No, I haven't. Bombs in Roswell. No, I've not heard anything about it.
I looked in the papers again today and nothing.
Yep, that's what I came up with, Dave.
Huh.
So I guess it's a bomb.
I guess.
Sorry, Dave, I wish I could help you out.
Yeah, I wish you could, too. And on that baby thing.
Yes.
Wow. That's about all you can say.
It makes you reflective, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Thanks, Dave. In other words, that's animation of the dead. That's coming to life from death. 3 1/4 hours, folks. That's coming to life from death. Now, it takes a while to sink in, you know, the importance of this story. It's so outlandish that I think a lot of people simply don't believe it. You know, they will attribute it to anything but a miracle. They will attribute it to doctors who did not read weak but still remaining life signs or something or another. But that's balderdash. These were top-notch physicians. There was no mistake made. This child was without life. And then life came. Now, you let that one roll around in the noggin for a while. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Art, this is James in Oklahoma City. Have you heard about the discovery of the dwarf star? The red sun?
Yes, sir, I have. I have a photograph of it, actually.
Do you think it has any connection with Hale-Bopp or the asteroidal belt between the
No, sir. That's about 18 light years out.
But don't they all intertwine in a, like a...
No.
They don't weave...
Well, except as the universe is...
They would be too far away, in other words.
Way far away. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Art.
You're welcome, sir, in Oklahoma City. Yeah. I don't believe there is any connection. Except some of the discoveries we're making are incredible. Those photographs of the birth of stars, those are incredible. Incredible. Those photographs are in our next newsletter. Now, in the newsletter following that, it will be the quickening. In the newsletter following that, there will be a big story and photographs of nanotechnology. Just some of the few things that we're doing right now. On the first time caller line, you're on the air.
This is a miracle. It truly is. Hi, kid. What's going on?
Well, me at the moment.
I'm really glad that you put on the air the earthquake and volcanic activities, because I always get a really panicky feeling, and I've never figured out what it was. But since I started listening to your show about a year ago, I started correlating my feelings with
what's going on.
Yeah, that's great. And I don't know. Since I don't get you past 5 o'clock.
Where are you? Where?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Judy from Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. What station are you listening to?
WKY.
So they,
9:30.
Some fella called earlier and said we weren't on, so they must...
I know. You know, I'm really sorry. Oklahomans really aren't all that smart sometimes.
you mean he
is
was
his
just...
name really Steve?
You
did
mean...
he ever say that?
Do you mean he was just flat wrong?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think he just got the wrong station, maybe. I don't know. I catch
see.
You from San Antonio until 3 o'clock, and then I go to WKY.
I see.
Have you, has anyone ever correlated the happenings in Australia with the horses you were talking about? You
they
know,
ought to, because what's going on down there is really weird.
Well, did anyone think that maybe it's the killer rabbit virus? That isn't supposed to touch anyone else but rabbits?
Already mutated, eh?
Exactly. I mean, who would ever say?
Yeah, I really do think the killer rabbit virus, much as I dislike rabbits, I think that it's a bad idea. And I think one of these times, one of these things is going to turn around and bite humanity in the butt. You don't mess around with Mother Nature.
Well, yeah. I mean, who's to say that the AIDS virus and the Ebola virus isn't the same way?
Sorry,
I mean,
exactly
look at killer
right.
bees. They started in as an experiment.
You've got them in Oklahoma now, don't you?
Yes, in southern Oklahoma. I live more in the northwest
I see.
Section. I love your show, Dreamland. It is so great. I have read so many of the books of the people you have interviewed.
They're good, aren't they?
Oh, yes. Dr. Strange, of course. I've read At Wedding Tomorrow and his book, Strangers in the Pentagon.
Right.
They were both very exciting to me.
Oh, yes.
Gosh, so many things are happening. And I'm like you. You know, I go to a meeting once a month. There's a lot of people in our area who are sensitive. I hate the word psychic. I don't believe in it. I'm not a new ager.
Sensitive, yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. And one of the girls, there was a lecture, and one of the girls said, I forgot what I was talking about. I hate it when I do that.
It's a brain lock.
It really is, yeah. And I'm sure it's the Heart Project. I'll blame it on that. That sounds good.
Yeah, someone threw a switch up there in a list. You stopped in mid-sentence. All right,
no,
you're
really,
listening.
I'm almost 40. I think that's why.
Oh, boy, well, I'm 50, so.
Well, you don't sound like it.
Really?
Does that help?
Is there a way that you sound when you get to be 50?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really do.
All right.
Anyway, I was going to say, you know, with the glass half empty and half full.
Yes.
All
right. Let me finish on the air, dear. Listen on the air. I do look at it as half empty. I admit it. But I want to see how it turns out. And that goes back to the guy. I'm still not over that. The guy who wanted to have the government death clinics, you know, euthanasia clinics, where people who have had enough can go to end it all. What do you all think of that idea? Not too cool. Government death clinics. Dr. Kevorkian Memorial Clinic. East of the Rockies. Oh, whoops, you would have been on the air, but you're not. West of the Rockies on the wild card line. You're on the air.
Hey, I heard you calling for a weather report from Alaska.
Oh, yes. You're in Alaska?
Yeah, I'm here in Anchorage.
Anchorage. And how cold is it?
Well, over here on the east side, it's about 22 below right now. That's without the wind.
Actually 22 below zero?
Yes.
Oh, man. That's cold.
It's cold.
How much snow do you all have?
We have less than an inch, and mostly there's none covering anything.
That's ridiculous.
I know. We had about 4 feet by this time last year.
What the hell's going on?
Don't ask me. I want to go skiing, though.
That's ridiculous. 22 below, no snow, less than an inch, or none at all.
That's
right. Outrageous. What's going on up in Fairbanks? Do you know?
Yeah, my little sister is going to college up there, and I guess it's just as cold, and they have about 4 inches of snow.
God. Boy. Is that Heart Project?
It must be.
That's ridiculous. That really is ridiculous. And everything's down south, and it's blowing in, and I understand there's more rain headed to the northwest. And their rivers are at the breaking point. They've started to recede a little, but now it's warming, and they're worried about snow melt off and more rain coming in. I'm telling you.
on our local weather, they said the jet stream was just completely skipping Alaska and heading down south.
That's what it looks like, and that's what's got the Northwest, I believe, in trouble.
I think so.
Well, that's fine. Now we've done it. We've screwed up the jet stream. Damn rockets. All right, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Launching all those rockets eastward. And east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi there. This is Mike from Peoria.
Hello, Mike.
Well, to put things on a little happier note here, I really did have to grit my teeth for a minute there about the guy with the government,
death,
you know,
things
of death and everything. But
the Kevorkian chamber, memorial chambers.
Yeah, I had to kind of grit my teeth on that. I think there's a lot of people in the world that got it a lot worse than us.
You know, you got to ask yourself though, if they had such government-sponsored institutions of death, how many people do you think would walk through the door?
Boy, I tell you what, things are turned so far upside down these days. It wouldn't surprise me if they had it on CNN and they said, well, all the death camps started up today and there people are lining up in droves. It wouldn't shock me a bit.
I really want
to talk to you about.
He's really right about this, I believe. There would be lines. I mean, it'd be more impressive than the opening of a movie, I bet you.
What I really called you about is, you got to talking about the Pointer Sisters a while ago.
Oh, I love the Pointer Sisters.
And I know somebody else that you love a lot, and you happened to ask a question within the last week, and you said, boy, you know what I'd really love to have?
A photograph of Maria Muldaur?
Yes. And if you haven't went out and picked, they reissued her first album, which is the one that has Midnight at the Oasis.
Sir, could I ask you to hold through the break? Are you willing to do that?
Sure.
All right, well, then I'll set the mood for it. Ha ha. Here she is. This is Maria.
Midnight at the Oasis. Send your camel to bed.
I am told she is one of the cutest.
Shadows painting our faces. Traces. A romance in our hands.
I want to see her photograph when she sang this.
Heaven's holding a half moon.
I love this song.
Shining just for us.
It's all about my desert, the high desert.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 5th, 1995.
Cactus is our friend. He pointed out the way. Come on, till the evening Midnight at the Oasis. Send your camel to bed. Shadows painting our faces.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 5th, 1995.
See, when you've got your own talk show,
shining just for us,
you can do whatever you want.
Let's slip off to a sand,
including playing the same bumper music twice in a row.
Kick up a little dirt.
Not only do I feel very special about Maria, but you know, when it was my birthday, this last time I had my birthday, my wife somehow found Maria Muldaur, found her somewhere out there, and Maria sent me this. Listen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy 50th birthday to you, Art Bell. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Art, this is Maria Muldaur calling you from the Oasis, wishing you the happiest of 50th birthdays. Meet me at midnight.
So you ask, I want a photograph of her. Hi there, you're back on the air again.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I just picked up the they just reissued that first album on CD, and I went out and got it. Mm. And there is just an incredibly gorgeous picture of her in the sleeve that goes in the CD jacket.
Okie dokie.
And it's really a great CD. I mean, for, you know, even that many years ago, I mean, you've got Dr. John playing keyboards for her.
Oh, listen, this woman's into the blues now. She
And Jim Keltner, who used to do work with Eric Clapton and John Lennon,
yep,
and Ry Cooder playing guitars. I mean, these are no small time.
No, I hear you. And did you hear that happy birthday? Do you know what that reminded me of?
What's that?
That reminded me of when Marilyn sang happy birthday to John.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you listen to the timbre of the voice, and it's all right there.
Well, I was very fortunate being a musician for most of my life. I got to meet her once.
Really?
And she was one of those type of people that, I don't know, it was very, you just wanted to be in the room with her.
Oh,
and it was only for about maybe 10 minutes or so, because I happened to be at a party that, some managers were throwing.
There are certain things you remember all your life. I once got to kiss Olivia Newton-John.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, a lot of people might joke about that, but... You know,
well, I know they would, but at the time, she was in her serious prime. The eyes were about the deepest blue you've ever seen. Her face was absolutely vibrant, and she, you know, if you can remember back to the days of what was the name of that movie she did?
Well, there were several.
The musical.
Well, Grease.
Grease, thank you, Grease. If you can remember back to the days of Grease. I went to a press party for her, and I got to kiss her. It was so neat. You know, since we're reminiscing about things we've done. Listen, sir, thank you very, very much for your call, and I will pick up that CD.
Oh, I'm telling you what. If you thought Olivia's eyes were something, wait till you see Marie's. They'll just melt you right down.
That's covered. We'll get the photograph right here in the studio. Thank you very much. Put it next to the one of Shannon Daugherty here. Mr. Bell, a moment of your time to discuss a serious matter. I am very nervous about my new neighbor. I live in an apartment complex full of only one-bedroom apartments. No, I've seen many come and go, but now I'm very nervous about this new one. Art, his name is Steve. And there's a little skull and crossbones there. Imagine my horror when he told me his name. All I could do was grab my crucifix, the one I had around my neck, and run away screaming, "Die, spawn of Satan." What actions can I take, Art? Silver bullet through the heart? What? Very disturbed and afraid, Mark in Vegas. And there is a unsmiling face there. Mark, I can't tell you what to do. When you're steeved, it's, it's like you're marked. So you'll just have to sort of take it a day at a time, Mark. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
I'd like to comment on this miracle, if I may.
You may.
Also, I just talked to my son's friend in Thorn Bay, Alaska, yesterday.
Yes.
And she said they've been having nothing but snow there, that it's been up to the knees.
Where is that?
Thorn Bay, that's the southern tip of Alaska.
Oh, you mean down toward the capital?
So in the southern part of Alaska, they're having snow.
Well, that would make sense, because the jet stream has come south. So it would make sense that Juneau would be getting dumped on. And by the way, we're going on the air, or we did in Juneau, I don't know which. I think we're going on the air real soon in Juneau with Coast to Coast AM. They already take Dreamland, but we're going to be on the air. So we'll be hearing a lot from Juneau.
Well, this is by Ketchikan.
Ketchikan, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then Thorn Bay is kind of a remote little area. My son is homesteading up there.
Well, you can still do that. They probably got a lot more moisture because they're near the water. Uh-huh. Anyway, about the baby?
Well, it isn't a surprise to me, Art, because I'm hoping to write a book on all the miracles that I have seen in my Christian walk for 30 years.
Well, then I sure would include this one.
I have seen so many miracles. In fact, I held a little miracle on my lap, which kind of goes along with when does life enter, you know, enter the baby. Well, when you plant a flower seed, the life is already there, isn't it? And it starts sprouting very soon. It's the same with human and animal. The sperm is a seed with the life in it. But the little baby, I was sitting in Newberry's in Spokane one day, and sitting in a chair in the shoe department, and this darling little black girl come up roaming around wanting to sit on my lap, you know. She was about 3, I think.
Yes.
That's been about 40 years ago. I wish I could run into her again, but her mother, seeing I was friendly,
yes,
and she started talking to me, and I was telling her how cute the little girl was. She was awfully tiny, but
yes,
she was really cute. And her mother said, well, she's in the World Book of Records, in the Guinness World Book of Records, for having been the shortest term baby in, you know, ever.
Well, that would have been at that time. They have done incredible things since, you know.
Well, she carried her 4 1/2 months.
Oh, my gosh.
And that little girl was just as perfect as any could be.
That
except
seems
her mother
impossible.
Said, pardon?
I said that seems impossible.
I know, but it all adds up, because she told me that when she's a couple years older, all she will need is a light surgery on her female organs, because they didn't quite finish developing.
Maturing, yes. All right, ma'am, I've got to run, but thank you very much for the call. And this is right down the alley of what you were just saying. Listen very carefully. The rebirth of the baby is no miracle in the big picture. However, to us it is. I call it the spontaneous regeneration of life created by the mother's love for her child. It was the mother's faith and love and grief that sparked or rekindled the life force from behind the child on the other side, brought it here and now. She would make for a great study herself. She's a great mom, teaching us all a lesson in compassion. On the quantum level, the very tiny level, these things happen all the time. It's just rare for us to see or witness them. What is interesting to me is that it took 3.5 hours. Realize our time is relative. She's also teaching us that our belief systems can be flexible and are not set in concrete. I'm sure you'll see and hear more of this kind of miracle, but understand they are not. They are only rare so far in our world. Look around you and examine nature, even a tiny blade of grass. It is a miracle it is able to grow out of the ground at all. You stop and think about it, transforming dirt, water, and sunlight into a living thing must be black magic. The seed is always the unmanifest potential. It is always here. Everything is intentional. It's all part of the quickening. Signed, one of your listeners. It is the most cogent facts I've received this morning on what, to me, is a miracle. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Chris from Peoria.
Okay, Chris, turn your radio off.
Okay, it's off, sir.
Good. Welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Fine.
I just wanted to call and see what the status was on the BBC thing that you were talking about yesterday.
I'm not going to do it.
You're just definitely not going to... Did they call you back?
No, they'll probably call today.
Yeah.
BBC, I'm not going to do it.
I had sent you a fact. I didn't know if you got it.
You know, I get all kinds of... I did, yes, thank you. I get all kinds of invitations of that kind,
yeah,
or to go out on the road and do a show here or there. And, you know, I don't do it. The reason I don't do it is because when I get out of my element, I don't do the same kind of program.
Well, it's too bad they couldn't do something where they didn't actually want to come into your studio.
Or when a camera, it's the same as when a camera comes in here. It throws me off my game.
Well, it kind of takes away from it, too.
I'm used to this sort of one-on-one deal that I have here in my quiet little studio, you know, and it's a very special kind of magic, and when I tamper with it,
mm-hmm,
it kicks me in the butt.
Does it? Show, yeah, doesn't come out as...
It doesn't, yeah, no, it doesn't come out the same.
I'm kind of interested to see if they call you back and see what they have to say.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll call today, and I'm sure they'll be very disappointed. They'll say, well, why? And then I'll have to try to explain it, and so...
they may not understand that. They don't have that over there, radio shows like you have. They only have, what, four TV stations there, you know, that 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Right. No,
like
that's
NBC,
right.
It's like NBC, ABC, CBS, like that over there. But
I know, and they don't have presenters, and it's really a very different kind of television, but
yeah.
After I thought about it, I thought, well, if a camera is invasive, or I feel it is, and it throws me off my game, then it's invasive. I don't care whether it's the British camera or American camera. Doesn't matter. It's invasive.
Well, I was kind of interested that they were going to do a show on you because when I was over there, they're like almost 10 years behind on TV shows in general. You know, they were like, when I was there, they were just starting to show Charlie's Angels and stuff like that.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
When was that?
I was there from 84 to 88.
84 to 88. Just showing Charlie's Angels. Well, all right, sir. Thank you very much.
All righty.
Take care. No, I'm not going to do it. And I really, really, really hate turning these things down all the time, you know. Makes me feel like a poop. But I have learned that. I have learned that I don't like TV, and I don't like going out and doing shows in front of audiences and that kind of thing. It's a quirk of mine. And I am best when I am in my own element. I am best when I am not thinking, for example, about a big audience out there. You know, when I don't do that. Even though I know there's a lot of radio stations and millions of people, I block it out. And it's sort of like I talk to you one at a time. Or like I'm talking to one person. But when the reality, it's like I went on vacation. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. I went on vacation to Mazatlan. When I did, I went down to LAX. When I flew into LAX, and I looked out the airplane window down at Los Angeles below me, it totally freaked me out. I said, I'm on the air there? Oh, man, how do I do it? And it freaked me out. And then at LAX, I had a lot of time. You know, you always have time at LAX, unfortunately. So I went out, you know, and smoked my cigarette. Sitting in front of LAX, and I was watching the people. They were running, most of them, and moving very fast. And I just sat there quietly next to the ashtray, exiled from those inside because I wanted to smoke, and I didn't want to go to their glass enclosure, stupid glass enclosure. So I watched, and there were millions of people. And I sat there, and I thought, how do I do it? You know, if I had to really see these people, I couldn't do it. And so when I'm in front of an audience, or I realize, or I begin to think about the size of the audience, it totally screws me up. And it doesn't take much. And a camera in here, that'd do it. Screw me up totally. So, I don't do it. I just sort of live within my world, and my own little zone of comfort here, and try not to think about it all. And then it works. And if I think about it or over-intellectualize it, which is something I tend to do, it gets me, bites me right in the butt. First time caller line, you're on the air.
I'd like to revisit the Bosnia subject.
Okay.
And tell you about the way I have interpreted this thing over the last couple of years. It's been obvious through the newspapers, and it's reported widely that the Serbs have always had superior firepower.
Yes.
They have been unable to defeat or achieve a victory against the Muslims. In any event, I think that if we were able to release this embargo, I think that it very quickly this thing would come to a stalemate.
Well, exactly right. Thank you for the call, and that's what the big fight's going to be about. Bob Dole has delayed the vote in the Senate for a couple of really good reasons. One, he doesn't have the votes. Two, he wants an end strategy, an end to the Bosnian incursion, clearly defined. And part of that end is rearming the Bosnians. The president is not willing to do that. Still not willing to do that. And for the U.S. to go in and do what we're about to do, and then to leave without giving the Bosnians the opportunity to defend themselves, is one of the most totally insane things I've ever heard in my whole life. So one can only sit and puzzle at the president's inscrutable, and it is inscrutable, foreign policy ideas. I just absolutely cannot understand what this man is all about. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, WKXY, Sarasota.
Sarasota.
You know, the death clinics?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a hopelessness when people give the welfare or responsibility of their living over to the government. They're too willing to turn the responsibility of their dying over.
Yep.
Okay? And on the BBC, now you've got the camera coming in. And
no, I don't.
No, I mean, you're not going to do it. But
no, I'm not.
This is why I agree with you. Okay, the camera and the people and the lights, and then the pictures they get are not the pictures that we get when we listen.
You couldn't be more right on the money.
And then the other, what you can tell them is that you've got a cat named Abby.
Yep.
Who is an old stick in the mud, and he doesn't want him on his turf. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's as good a line as any. Thank you, dear.
Okay, dear. Bye.
Bye-bye. I'm just going to tell him the truth. It's what I keep telling him. I don't like it. I don't like TV. I don't like going out in crowds. I don't like going up on stage. You know the radio stations I used to have where they would have a glass cubicle? I hated that. I did that. I've done that in my career where it's like you're a fish in a fishbowl, you know, and you're doing a radio show, and people can come by and look in at you. They peer in at you like you're a little goldfish or something. It totally unnerved me. Totally unnerved me. And it's not the same. So I'm going to try to be smart enough not to allow things to change on this radio program. I don't care how big it gets. I wouldn't do it any differently if it were one radio station, or the 241 it is now, or the 500 it might be. I don't want it to change. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Okay.
Well, it's been raining real hard here in Utah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's because the jet stream is sweeping down over that part of the country.
Yeah. Well, it was real strange. We hardly even got a drop during November. It's like in the past 50 years, it's like there's only been 4 years like that.
Yeah.
About every 15 years or something like that.
No, angels don't play that harp, sir.
I heard that show. That's I think you outdid yourself on that one.
Well, I always try to outdo myself.
Oh. Very interesting. I've been noticing, like, in the networks and that there's, you know, I've been listening to your show for about a year and that, you know, and I've been, it seems like a lot of the networks are starting to pick up on the type of stuff you do.
I know. Isn't it something?
It's something else.
I wonder about that myself. I marvel at that. That a lot of what people used to tell me I was absolutely out of my mind for putting on the air.
Uh-huh.
Now is showing up as regular fare on the regular broadcast networks. It blows my mind.
It is.
So I'm happy about that. I mean, it's like people are waking up. Not all is negative. A lot of consciousness out there is being raised.
Well, maybe there's hope.
Sir, there's always hope.
All right. Well, good night, Art.
You take care. And to our first-time caller line, without a lot of time, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art. This is Bill in Portland.
Hi, Bill. We don't have a lot of time.
I sent you the facts about the baby in Kalamazoo.
Oh, yes.
Possibly having the bent gene and being an immortal.
Several people said that baby might be an immortal. And it might. It might. I think it's the neatest story that I've heard all year long. Listen, the show is over. There's only time for you to have the great honor of the night.
Well, thank you very much. And America, good night, America.
That's the way to do it. From the high desert, good night, America.